powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Waiting on Russell Wilson to speak to reporters for the first time since his wildcard postgame press conference. Also the first time since the Seahawks and Brian Schottenheimer parted ways. So while we're waiting on him, let's go ahead and look around the NFL with some NFL headlines. Jacksonville is zeroing in on Urban Meyer as their next head coach. I think would be one of the most exciting transfers from collegiate to the pro. I mean, this is how people were talking about Pete Carroll. Like you said, times a thousand with that kind of excitement, especially in Jacksonville. The Jaguars also with getting Trevor Lawrence in there with the first overall pick. This is suddenly a team in a small market that I am very interested in watching.
What I'm curious about is what Urban Meyer sold himself on. Because he's not a play caller. Did he sell himself on the idea that he is a quarterback whisperer, or that he's had success with great quarterbacks in the past? Or is it the fact that he has been a great culture builder? And I say that in quotations because although the on-field product has been great, he has always kind of left a little bit of a mess behind on the way out. So to me, that's what I'm curious about. What is his job going to be, or what is he primarily going to be responsible for when he gets there to Jacksonville?
Now, I think that the appeal of those coaches that have been incredibly successful at the college level is that there will be culture building there. Because you can say the same about Pete Carroll coming into the NFL. People could say, ooh, you left a little bit of a mess there at USC. Or like, oh, there's a little bit of some questions around there. But it was hard not to say that he was successful with culture building. And if you're Bucky Brooks, who joined us, last week, the week before, he said, look, I am much more interested in the success of a coach as far as how he coaches men, as far as how he is able to build culture and build excitement in a locker room. That is more important to me than how he is as a play caller. He said, you see some good play callers that just can't have it translate as a leader. To Pete Carroll's credit, he has been good there.
Yeah. No question.
Yeah.
No question. And I think that this could potentially work out depending on what Urban Meyer brings with him, right? The staff that he is able to assemble and the style in which they try to play with Trevor Lawrence, it's going to be one interesting experiment, Stacy, that's for sure. And one thing that we do know is that in terms of Florida, in terms of Jacksonville, there is finally going to be some excitement and juice around that franchise, some legitimate excitement after dealing with some head coaches and Tom Coughlin and those guys who are very old school and rub players the wrong way, those types of things. I think Urban Meyer brings a lot of excitement, a lot of energy.
Now, we all remember the saga about the Eagles following the regular season finale where Doug Peterson pulled Jalen Hurts in a winnable game, put in Nathan Sudfeld. Sudfeld? I don't even know. That's how not relevant he was to this game. Eagles obviously lose in just some head-scratching mistakes in that one. People thinking Doug Peterson threw the game on purpose to spite the New York Giants, who were hoping that they could make the playoffs with a losing record, which is just too bad. Instead, it's Washington winning the game and advancing as the division winner. So a lot of controversy about who was in charge of making that decision. Doug Peterson, since out as the Eagles coach, your boy, Jake, Troy Aikman, told Michael Irvin that actually Peterson's firing was more about Jeffrey Lurie's desire to play Carson Wentz over Jalen Hurts.
You know, Mike, I reached out to Doug Peterson yesterday when I heard the news. What I gathered, and I don't know, I don't have any insight, but what I gathered it came down to was a difference of opinion as to how they were moving forward at the quarterback position is what I sensed. I sensed that, you know, here Jeff Lurie, the owner, has paid a lot of money to Carson Wentz, and they're on the hook with him. They can't get out of that contract, you know, right away. And yet it's my belief that Doug Peterson felt that Jalen Hurts was probably the quarterback going forward. And how does that mesh?
I am not surprised that there was a disagreement between head coach and ownership there, even between the GM. I mean, it was clear that Doug Peterson was unhappy, and people were unsure whether this was a spiteful move or just a move that he was told to make and didn't really want to, but made anyways. you knew that the Eagles would have to choose between Carson and Doug. You couldn't keep both. You couldn't keep a quarterback that completely bombed, nor the head coach that people were blaming for it.
Could you imagine how much this changes people's perspective of Doug Peterson? Because people were all over Doug Peterson about this during the season. Why are you not making this
I'm going to interrupt here. We've got Russell Wilson at the podium right now.
You're up.
Yeah, Russ, just now you're a couple days removed from that game and from the season. When you look at kind of how the offense was going and then the latter part of the season, what do you think needs to change in 2021 to get back on track?
Well, when I talk about first to lead it off, first of all, I want to kick it off with just all the great things. Obviously, I know you guys have questions. You want to figure out a lot of things, this and that. you got to figure out the world's problems here, I guess. You know, what I think about is just the season, you know. You know, John, I think about everything that we've gone through from the beginning to the end of the season. You know, us coming off of last season's, last season and then coming into the spring, we really felt like we had a great team. We felt like we really had a great chance to be something special. Then next thing you know, we were all excited about coming back together. And then we hit this wall of COVID and, you know, nobody can really be around each other. And it's kind of a crazy, fascinating thing. I've never in my whole lifetime thought that, you know, we'd be installing plays through Zoom. I didn't even know what Zoom was until then. You know, and we go through all this process of, you know, learning the plays and teaching guys the plays and going through the whole system. And I thought we did an exceptional job of it. I mean, honestly, I think that one of the things that we did really, really well this offseason is teaching the game and just everybody getting prepared. And, you know, I thought we came into training camp really, really ready. To be honest with you, almost more prepared than ever before, I think, because of, you know, the circumstances and being so distant. And I think, you know, I know for us, you know, offensively, we spent so many hours together and so much time through phone calls like this virtually and talking and everything else, getting prepared. I think as a result, we really kicked off the season in such a high note. I think that we really, you know, did an unbelievable job, obviously, of being explosive in our passing game, you know, really coming out of the gates, just really first, second down, third down, just really executing, really in the red zone was exceptional. And we were able to do everything really well in the first five, six games or so. I think along the way, you know, you hit, you know, any season, you always hit bumps in the roads. I think that's just usually kind of the case. And, you know, we hit a couple bumps in the road, you know, along the way, you know, went to Buffalo. That game was, we were down pretty good early on and, you know, kind of playing the catch up game. We felt like, you know, throughout the game and, some guys were dinged up and they had a really great defense. Obviously they're still playing ball right now. And that game kind of was a tough one for us. Fast forward, you know, we come back, we kind of get some good mojo again. We played the 49ers, have a good game against them. And, you know, the season goes on, and I think that, you know, ending up 12-4, you know, was a really spectacular thing. I think really we could have ended up 14-2, maybe even better. We felt like, you know, and to have a season like that, you know, regular season, was, I think, pretty spectacular. I think about all the good things of guys like, you know, Jamal Adams coming onto our team, and guys like Carlos Dunlap. I mean, that was a big deal. You know, getting Carlos was, you know, helped change a lot of our stuff on defense, and just how aggressive he was. Sacking the quarterback, a lot of guys were playing extremely well the second half of the season for defense, and you know, we felt like we really had a great chance to go win it all. You know, come to a playoff game, as you know, as we get there, and you know, we don't play our best. You know, we felt like we felt like we were ready to go and everything else. But you know, sometimes, a lot of times, I always tell this to you guys, it's one of those things that sometimes you go and the game, you know, happens the way it happens, and you process, the next thing you know, get to the end of the game, it doesn't go the way that you want it to. And the question is, you know, how do we make sure that doesn't happen, right? I think that how do you overcome those situations where, you know, I think a lot of it is that, you know, we didn't have the ball much in the first quarter. You know, going back, I've watched it probably about four times now. We didn't have the ball much in the first quarter. And really, you know, even late in the game, kind of, we didn't get the ball. You know, we had a chance to come back, and we didn't really get the ball in the fourth until too late, it almost felt like. So, you know, second and third quarter, you know, changed the game. You know, I think that the game was in reach. I think that we could have played better for sure. I think that we could have had more opportunities, you know, in execution and running the ball, throwing the ball, everything that we were doing. And it just didn't work out. You know, I put this season, you know, in a glimpse. I think going back to what you're talking about, John, is that, you know, for me, you know, our expectation is to be the best in the world. right? The expectation is to be the best in the world. And when your expectation is to be the best in the world, you know, with ambition, there comes consequences sometimes. You know, there's comes some, sometimes there's this and that, and there's responsibility to be the best every day and this and that. And sometimes, you know, the ball doesn't bounce your way. And I think that we had some games where the ball didn't bounce our way, it felt like. And a lot of that, I think, was, you know, we had some injuries, we had some things, and that's football. You know, that happens. But I think that we could have executed better. And it starts with us as players, I think, as a whole. It starts with me. I always start with myself first, you know, and to be the fortunate situation to be the quarterback of this team. We've had so many amazing moments, so many amazing games, so many wins and this and that. And the reason why we do this is to win it all. And that's why you guys are here. That's why you guys are so, you know, intent that, you know, and concerned, you know, you want to win every time. And I think that's a great thing. And I think that's how we should be. And nobody holds a higher standard than I think us as players, that we have to make sure that we do everything that we can to get it right. You know, so I think that, if you ask me what went wrong, sorry, I know it's a long answer here. I know it's my first time getting to talk to you guys. I didn't really get to talk to you on the exit because I was in meetings all day, and then you guys were rolling already. But you know, if you ask me, if I ask myself what went wrong, I think that we didn't win that last game. You know, I think as much as you could say what went right, what went wrong, I mean, you have to be able to win when you get to those moments, and you have to be able to find a way to overcome. And I think we've done it before. I think we'll do it again and overcome. But I think that in that moment, in that game, we didn't play good enough. They outplayed us, you know, just to be honest with you. So I think that that's the thing that we got to figure out this offseason and going into it and figuring out how to do that better and how to catch fire and stay hot throughout the whole season and do everything that we can to make sure that we're doing our part. Hopefully that answers some of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Brady Henderson.
Russ, pardon me. What did you think of Brian?
Where are you at, Brady? Find where you are here on my screen.
You know what? I'm not video on, so it's going to be a blank screen. But what are your thoughts on Brian Schottenheimer's departure?
Kind of breaking up on my end. I'm not sure if is he breaking up on y'all's end or is it just me?
Russell, he just asked what you thought about the departure of Coach Shoddy.
Oh, man. You know, Shoddy's been a great coach. He's been we've done some amazing things together. You know, the reality is we've led the league in touchdown passes. We've done a lot of amazing things over the past 3 years. We've you know, won a lot of football games and everything else. You know, I think he's a tremendous coach. I think he's a tremendous teacher. I think that, you know, as a friend, as a person too, as well, I've gotten really close with his family. The amount of sacrifice that he put into every day, you know, him being away from his family and stuff like that, because, you know, his kids were in school in Nashville and stuff like that. But just, you know, this amount of sacrifice he's put into it. And I think that he's a tremendous football coach. And I think that he really helped me and throughout my career, you know, so far to have him, you know, in kind of the beginning, middle of my career, and those first, I guess, year six, seven, eight, or seven, eight, nine, or whatever. You know, it's been a blessing to have him and such an amazing teacher of the game. You know, I think for him, I think that he's going to be an amazing coach for somebody else, you know, for some other team here soon, hopefully. You know, I think he's going to be a head coach. I think he's got that kind of leadership ability. You know, and I think that unfortunately for us, I think that, you know, in coach's eyes, it was kind of time to, you know, see if we can make a change and everything else. The things that we did, amazing. I mean, we're the best team in football. I mean, bottom line is we're the best offense in football for, you know, first middle part of the season. And he was a major part of that. And his ability to lead us and every day and go after it and stay focused, stay positive along the way. So, you know, you know, hurts because when you spend so much time with somebody for so long, you know, and so many meetings and so much preparation, you know, anytime you go different directions, it's always tough. And I think that he'll, me and him have been able to talk since, you know, and I'm excited about where his future, just about, you know, what he'll be able to do in this league. And hopefully he gets a chance to be head coach one day. I know he really, you know, his dad was such an amazing head coach. I know he's always wanted that. And I think that he'll be great for, you know, for other quarterbacks too, as well. And also another organization. And so, unfortunately, you know, for us, it didn't work the way that we all hoped and destined it to. But the reality is that we also did some amazing things and have an amazing relationship with them. So I'm always going to be rooting for him, man. He's an amazing guy, amazing coach. And I'm grateful for, you know, everything that he's given me and my family and also the guys on his team.
And what kind of coordinator are you hoping that the team hires next?
I think that's a great question. I think that's, you know, super important. You know, I think that Coach Carroll and I, you know, we have to be on the same, you know, same wavelength. We've been able to talk, obviously, over the past 3 days, Coach Carroll and I, you know, about a lot of different things and everything else and really trying to figure out, okay, you know, how far can we go? Where are we going? What's the plan? And all that stuff. And so I think a lot of it, you know, for me and Coach to be able to hopefully be able to partner on the thought process of the next person and really that person really being able to help impact this football team, this organization, really be a great coach for us and help us help be a part of leading us to the promised land, obviously. I think that since talking to Coach after the whole Shoddy thing, I think talking to him the past, you know, I don't know, 48 hours or whatever, you know, I think that what's really important is somebody who, one, is a tremendous teacher of the game. I think, obviously, like Shoddy was, but I think a tremendous teacher of the game, somebody who is a tremendous leader of men, somebody who also is extremely, extremely passionate about the game and creative, and as well knows how to find every single guy's strength and every guy in that huddle, all 11, including myself, every guy's strength in that huddle. And I think that's such an incredible part to this game, you know, and I think that what's really important is for us to be one of the most explosive offenses in football, for us to be able to throw it extremely well, for us to be able to also run it well too as well, for us to have the up-tempo, you know, kind of game, you know, and to really be able to fast pace and slow it down, to do all the mixture of things that we want to be able to do. I think that there's nothing that we can't do. When you have guys like DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, you know, other guys across the board, you know, the plethora of guys that can run it and catch it for us, you know, the standard, we have to be able to do it all. And I think that's really important, is for us to be exceptional in everything that we do. I think that we can do that. Obviously we did it earlier in the season for the most part, and we can do it again. We've done it before. So, you know, we've done so many great things. Obviously, you know, us coming off a season where we threw a bunch of touchdowns, threw 42 touchdowns, you know, able to win 12 games and everything else. You know, we need to throw 52. We need to win, you know, 15, 16 games. That's just, how do we find those last three, four games in there that we can win those? And that's the margin that we're looking for, right? And I think to be able to find that margin, hopefully, you know, the next coach, whoever that may be, can help us, you know, capture that fully. And I think we're right there. We're right on that verge of that. You know, it's time to go for it. You know, it's time to go for it and go win it all and do everything we can to make sure that we're the best offense in football. And when you have players like DK and Tyler, myself, and other guys too as well, you know, so many guys that can make plays for us. That's the expectation. That's the hope, right? Is that we can do all those things. And sure enough, we'll be able to. We just got to keep working and keep grinding and do our part.
Thanks, Brad.
Hopefully that answers what you need there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Ben Arthur.
Hey, Russ. Can you hear me? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, you're great, man. Yeah.
So, Pete was talking to us, you know, a few days ago and saying how he wants you guys to have more of a run commitment offensively, not just, you know, necessarily running more, but running more effectively, especially against, you know, those kind of two deep looks that you guys seemed to struggle a bit with at the end of the season. So I was wondering, do you feel like you've been, you know, your most effective or most productive throwing the ball when you guys have kind of been a run first, kind of had a run first offensive approach?
No. I mean, I think obviously we've been able to spin it. You know, we were throwing the ball a lot early in the year. I think that was probably been the most effective we've ever been. Right. I mean, when you think about just all the years, I mean, we've been here, done some amazing things over the years, but that's when we've been the most explosive, obviously the first, you know, five games and ever, you know, in anybody in NFL history, really, we were able to do that. I think that in terms of, you know, what we need to do as collective, I think what Coach is really talking about, me and him have been able to coordinate and talk and connect on that front, is that we have to do everything extremely well. You know, and I think about it. I mean, if you really want to be a great offense, the best in the league, the best in the world, we have to be able to throw it down the field. We have to, you know, be able to have great concepts in the middle of the field, be able to get the ball out quick and calling plays for us. Our screen game, and we want our screen game to be great. We want to be able to run the ball extremely well too, as well. We want to be up tempo and change the pace. And I know you guys love that. I love it. You know, when we get to go and these 2-minute situations, when the game's on the line, we're able to do all these things. And you know, we're capable of all of that, right? And so the expectation is in 2021, in my opinion, and I think also in talking to Pete and stuff like that too, is that, you know, but you know, in my mind is that I don't want to just do one thing well. I want to do it all well. You know, I want to be the best in the world at everything, running it, throwing it, tempoing it, 2-minute, game on the line. You know, we got one play to, you know, one last shot, first and second down, third down, red zone. We were one of the top teams in the red zone, you know? And so to be able to do all of that, it takes all of us as players, and it takes also great coaching and everybody else too. But us as players is really, really, you know, figuring those little margins, as I was saying earlier, figuring that out. And I think that, you know, against all looks, you know, if it's one high, two high, it don't matter. We got to do it all. We got to throw it, run it, mix it up, challenge the defense in every way, and really cause havoc in every way. And I think that's what I'm really fired up about and interested in about and looking for in terms of whoever we bring in, is that, you know, let's cause havoc in every form and fashion of the game. And, you know, I think that we have the players to do that. And that's what I'm really excited about. And I think that we were able to do that early on in the season, the first 5 games. Obviously, we did it better than anybody else in the world. And, you know, we need to do it for the next 15 games, if that makes sense, for the full 19, 20 games. And, you know, that's the idea.
Thanks, Russ.
Yeah.
Ian Furness.
Hi, Russ. I'm just wondering, with this hire, have you talked to Pete and John about you being involved in the process, the interview process, and having input, maybe not just you, but guys that are veterans on this team? And how important is that to you, that you have input on who they bring in to work as the offensive coordinator?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, obviously, I mean, going into my 10th year of my career, I think, you know, it's a critical time of being able to – the next 10 years are super critical, right, for everybody involved, the whole organization, and also myself and me as a player, you know, the legacy that I want to be able to create and do, and to be able to set the tempo on, you know what I mean? And so I think it's vital. It's critical, it's, you know, super significant that, you know, obviously that, you know, I'm a part of that process, and coach and I have definitely been talking about John too as well. And, you know, we've had some super long great dialogue about, you know, about, you know, the thought process of who we want, kind of the idea, kind of leader, the thought process, the innovator, all that kind of different stuff that you want. And I think that's the super critical thing, obviously, at this point in my career, to be able to, you know, cause you spend every day with that person, right? I mean, you spend all the time, you spend, you know, as many hours as me and Shadi spend together. I mean, I'm going to miss the guy, you know, cause we spend so much time together, you know, and you work so hard, you know, the next person, whoever that is, it's like, it's really critical that we're on the same page at all times and always talking and vibing and just, really, really on the same page. So I think.
All right, a shortened show here today because we got Coug Hoops coming up next. First reaction, Jake, to that presser.
My first reaction is that I think this group, hopefully through the conversations of Russ and Pete, that they're on the same page in terms of what they're looking for, what they want. And to me, overall, the conversation was about being great in every facet. And I'm hopeful that that's really what truly is the goal here, and not just focusing on one particular area.
I completely agree. I think he chose his words very carefully there. We're going to dive into it tomorrow, talking about what Russell Wilson might want from an offensive coordinator, going over everything he had to say about where he wants to improve on offense. All right, that'll do it for Jake Heaps and myself for today. You got Wazoo Hoops coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's 710 ESPN Seattle.